Today, I'm going to finally finish my Lord of the Rings series with Return of the King. That's what we'll be doing today. Maybe sometime I can do The Hobbit, which of course will be Zacchaeus. But I'm not sure when I'll have to start writing that. So, but today is the third of the trilogy, Return of the King. And while our text admittedly doesn't say the word king in it, it's implied. It still works. So if you would, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, I'll be reading verses 35 through 48. Luke chapter 12, verse 35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? And Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act accordingly to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what was deserving of a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We ask that you would help us open our hearts and minds for what you have for us out of your word, and just help me as I preach. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we really get into things, there's a lot of opinions, a lot of different opinions on when and how our King will return, how Jesus is going to return. That said, I don't want to get into the weeds on any of that. It is a fun subject to learn about. It's a fun subject to study. And it's good to learn about such things. But that's not what we're going to focus on today. What we're going to focus on today, and what our takeaway from this is that we don't know when he is coming. We don't know how much time we have left in this earthly life. But we do know he will come. And we do know that our time in this life will come to an end. So we must live accordingly. We must use our time on this earth accordingly. So let's get into our text. The first thing we see here is Jesus telling his followers to always be ready for action. He says in verse 35, stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning. So He tells them here to get dressed and ready for action. The Greek actually says, let your loins stay girded. In other words, they were to tuck the bottom of their robes into their belts. Think about it. People of this time would have primarily worn robes. Those robes, if left hanging and free-flowing, would have greatly impeded anyone if they needed to run anywhere. You would trip over them. Now, as far as I can remember in my life, I've never worn robes like that. In fact, in preparation for the sermon, I considered going upstairs and putting on one of the old choir robes and trying to run in it just to make sure I knew what I was talking about. But I couldn't risk that ending up on the internet somehow. So I didn't. I left it out. I'm sure that many of you remember when the choir would wear those robes. And I don't know if you guys ever tried to run in them. No? Okay, yeah. So we don't have any firsthand knowledge on this, but it would be tough. It would be tough to get around. Just picture Gandalf, right, in Lord of the Rings. Gandalf wore those big white robes. And if you watch Lord of the Rings, when he goes to run places, he's a little bit slower than he would have been, right? If he was wearing pants or maybe shorts, he could have gotten there quicker. That's why he's delayed in coming all the time. But there, that's my Lord of the Rings reference. It's my only one. But I had to work it in there because Dwight pointed out that I don't use enough Lord of the Rings references. So I worked one in there, and now you're all picturing Gandalf in shorts. So anyways, but in all seriousness, someone back then would have worn robes regularly. And if they wanted to be prepared to move and act quickly, they would have had to then hike up the robes and tuck them into their belt to free up their legs. And Jesus goes on to say here, to keep your lamps burning, keep them going. Jesus is saying here, be ready, be on call. Many people here know what it's like to be on call, whether you're a firefighter, an EMT, or if maybe you're just a behaviorist like I used to be, you have to be on call. You have to be ready at a moment's notice. It could be the middle of the night. You never know when that call might come in. You see, fires don't wait for convenient times for the firefighters to start, do they? Well, that's what Jesus is telling his followers to do here, to be ready. You never know what you're going to get called to do or when you might be called, but we must be ready to obey whatever the Lord calls us to do at any moment. You don't even have time to get ready. His followers were called to be dressed for actions, to have their lamps burning continually. No time to get dressed in different clothes, no time to run to the store to get more oil. You have to be ready to get up and go. A servant of Christ is always on call. We never know what we're going to be called to do. You could be called at a moment's notice to witness to your neighbor. It may not be a convenient time. You might not feel 100% ready to share the gospel with your neighbor, but you see an opportunity and you feel that tugging on your heart to do it, and you have to take that opportunity. It could be to love one of your enemies. You see an opportunity to witness them, to love one of your enemies. You have to be ready. It could be to maybe you get called on a missions trip or to become a missionary. You don't know. We never know, but we must be ready at all times to obey. And we must stay ready by being in his word every single day, by spending time in prayer with the Lord every single day, by being in church, learning and growing with your church family. This helps you stay ready. This helps you be ready. Being ready is especially pertinent, as we see here, when it comes to the coming judgment, to Jesus' return. Or if you don't live to see his return, then it's pertinent to the end of your earthly life. And that end of your earthly life could happen at any moment. We don't know. Right now, while we're sitting here in this very church service, a plane could come crashing in here and our time on this earth would be over like that. In that moment, you would not have time to get your heart right with the Lord. You would not have time to quickly trust in the Lord, trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You won't have time to even think. So we should ask ourselves here, ask yourself here, are we prepared to meet our Maker? Have you truly turned from your sins and trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Well, you may be thinking to yourself, no, I want to wait until later in life. I'm having too much fun now. I'm living like however you want to live, and you don't want to live for the Lord. Well, you may not have a later in life. Don't wait any longer. You may never get a chance to repent. You may not even make it home today. but you do have right now. You can turn from your sins right now and trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. There's no better day than today to do that, as today is all we really have. So that's first and foremost. But for those of us who are already saved, are you ready? As Jesus further calls us here to be ready in verse 36, where he says, "And be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." A wedding feast at that time could last anywhere between 4 to 7 days. That's a long time. I'm very thankful that they don't last that long these days, because that would get expensive real quick, and I have a daughter. Most of us would be using up all of our vacation time just for wedding season, right? I'm very thankful that we don't have those anymore. Regardless, we are told by Jesus here to be like men waiting for their master to come home from a wedding feast, that they have no clue when the wedding feast is going to get over. They aren't told when he'll be home. They aren't going to get a text message letting him know that he's on his way. They can't even use Life 360 app to know that his location, which I know only like 10 people here understand that reference, but it's a good reference if you knew what it was. They know he's coming. They don't know when, but they just know he's coming at some point, and they need to be ready for action. And then we see something interesting here. When it comes to verse 37, it says something different than what we would expect. Verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at the table, and he will come and serve them." In this verse, we see the master come home and do the exact opposite of what we would expect him to do. Certainly the exact opposite of what we would expect if we had servants, for them to do when we come home after this super long wedding feast. We would expect them to start, you know, if it was my servants, I would expect them to start serving me probably, right? I'm coming home from this long thing. That's what they're there for. But the master does something very different. This is no ordinary master that we have. This master dresses himself for service. He has his servants recline at the table and serves them. This illustration by Jesus here is very much reminiscent of when Jesus washes the feet of his disciples, which happens to be one of my absolute favorite scenes in all of the New Testament. Because just think for a moment what's happening at that moment. Jesus, God incarnate, through whom all things were created. Jesus, who is literally about to do the unthinkable and suffer and die for the sins of all who would believe and then rise again on the third day. That very Jesus gets up from the dinner table, dresses himself for service, and begins to wash the dirty, smelly feet of his disciples. And this is the part that always blows my mind, including the feet of Judas. The very one who already had it in his heart to betray him, and Jesus knew it, but he washed his feet too. What an incredible master we serve. And then Jesus goes on to explain in verses 39 and 40 that we don't know when he'll return. It says in verse 39, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Let me put it this way. If you're going to prank someone, right? I have a little bit of experience in this. Say I'm going to prank Christian. If I tell Christian that I'm coming to prank him, he's going to be ready. In fact, one time, One time I made a mistake. I was running Man Up, guys' Bible study, and it was our last day. And for our last day, we were going to go, after our Bible study, we were going to go and prank Christian. Now, somehow, the girls' Bible study found out what we were going to do. I think Jamie told them. Not to point any fingers on Mother's Day, but I'm pretty sure it was her. And they asked me if they could join us. I said, no, this is a guys' Bible study thing. This is us. You know, well, that was a huge mistake because they then knew where we were going. They knew what hour to expect. So they hid in the woods. So we get out of the car to go prank Christian's house. And all of a sudden, all the girls' Bible study comes running out of the woods with flour. And I think they had eggs and all sorts of stuff. And they just caked us, literally, like caked us. There's a picture of me somewhere of just flour all over me. And I'm just standing there like this, like, oh, man. And they knew what hour to expect that, right? A prank needs to be a surprise to work. Otherwise, it doesn't work. I lost my spot in that story. Pranks need to be unexpected. Well, Christ's return is going to be unexpected as well. We have no idea when, but we know it's going to happen. So we need to be ready. And I know we've already talked about being ready quite a bit, but it's a good reminder because it's all too easy to lose sight of this. It's all too tempting to get caught up in this world, so much so that we start living with a worldly mindset. We occupy ourselves with storing up treasures in this lifetime where moths and vermin destroy and thieves come up and steal. We waste so much of our time and energy with that. We occupy ourselves with the cares of this world, with the worries of this world, constantly worrying about the things to come. We all too often forget about our King and that He is coming back. And we should live accordingly and be prepared. Peter then goes on to ask an interesting question in verse 41. Peter said, Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all? Like, are you just saying this to just your disciples? Or are you saying this parable to everyone, is what he's saying. And Jesus essentially answers, yes. But of course, he does so through parable. And he starts by explaining who this is for in verses 42 through 44. And the Lord said, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find doing so when he comes. Truly, I say to you, he will set him over all of his possessions. Blessed are the servants who are faithful and wise. But what does that look like? What does it mean in this life to be faithful and wise? What does it mean for us in everyday life? Well, it looks like us being faithful to the Lord and glorifying the Lord in our lives while using the gifts that He has given us. Every single day. Every single day, that should be our goal. But is it? Is it your goal to glorify the Lord in your life every single day? In the business world, particularly when it comes to sales, or if you run your own business where your income is directly correlated with your efforts, it is important to set out goals and action items to meet those goals. You set goals that are big, like yearly goals, maybe even multi-year goals, and goals that are smaller, like weekly and monthly and daily goals. And you should map out specific action items for your days to then reach your bigger goals. This is all an effort to make sure that you use your time wisely, that you take the necessary actions in every single day to make sure you're moving towards your monthly and yearly goals. Consequently, oftentimes, if you don't set goals, And don't give yourself daily and weekly steps to achieve your goals. You'll never reach those bigger goals. You'll get too caught up in the day-to-day tasks, too caught up in simply surviving, that you won't ever really move forward towards those bigger goals. Well, similarly, in the Christian walk, if you aren't moving forward daily, if you aren't making the most of your days or striving to live for the Lord daily, you will end up wasting them. You will end up stagnant in the walk, in your walk with the Lord. And wasted days add up. Wasted days turned into wasted weeks, and wasted weeks turned into wasted months, and wasted months turned into wasted years. And before you know it, you've wasted most of your life. And before you know it, your master returns. Or before you know it, your life has come to an end. But blessed are those servants who are faithful and wise. For these servants, this isn't so much of a warning, Jesus' return. This is more of a promise. Essentially, like, don't worry, I'm coming. All you need to do is remain faithful and do what you are called to do. So ask yourself, if Jesus were to return today, would he find you being faithful and wise? Or would he find you fitting more into one of our following categories, our next two categories? Because these next two categories that Jesus gives us here, Jesus' return is very much a warning. So he goes on to explain who else these teachings are for in verses 45 through 46. But if that servant says to himself, my master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the male and the female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. These servants are evil and self-serving. This is most likely meant to parallel the behavior of the false teachers of the time, who used their authority to do evil things, to line their own pockets. Rather than being good stewards with what their master had given them, they abuse it. They live like their king won't return. They live only for themselves and their own evil pleasures. We see plenty of this in society, don't we? Perhaps you might see some of this in yourself as well. We see people who call themselves Christians living only for themselves. We see men who call themselves Christians, even people who are considered church leaders, on occasion abandoning their families and going off and living for themselves. We see preachers taking advantage of others to make a quick dollar with no regard for the harm that they're causing others. These are people that should know better. They know their Bibles. They've heard the gospel. They've probably preached the gospel. But they live like their king won't return, and they abuse what has been given to them. We see insecure and weak people in the church abusing their children, abusing their family, and abandoning their family members. We see leaders in this country and even in the church committing heinous acts and getting away with it. We see all kinds of people living evil lives in this world, and not just wasting their time in this earthly life, but actively spending their time in evil ways. But the king is going to return, and the king is going to return when they least expect it. And it is not going to be pleasant for them. They're going to be completely and utterly blindsided. They're going to quickly regret every evil action and thought they engaged in. Have you ever been blindsided? Like really blindsided? I mean really caught off guard? One time in a basketball game, I was doing a full court press and I was running along the point guard, and he was going fast one way and I was looking at him trying to get the ball, so I wasn't looking where I was going, and no one warned me that the largest guy on the other team was setting a screen at half court meaning he was just standing there like this, and I'm running full speed, and I ran my head right into his chest, and it was blindsiding. Let me tell you, I blacked out. Next thing I know, I'm on the bench, and I'm dizzy. I had a pretty bad concussion. I was blindsided. Well, this blindsiding is going to be a whole lot worse. They're going to wish that they still had time in this life like you do right now to turn from their sins and to trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And Jesus says that the Master will cut them into pieces and put them with the unfaithful. That's not going to be a pleasant, it's not a fun day. It's not going to be a pleasant day for them. And then to make sure Jesus doesn't leave anyone out, he goes on to include the lazy and the ignorant in verses 47 through 48, where it says, "And that servant who knew his master's will, but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. But the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating." So the first thing we see here is the lazy. Those who know their master's will, but still live and act like he's not going to return. This, in my opinion, is what we see most often in our society. Those who claim to believe, they claim to believe, but you wouldn't know it looking at their lives. Those who may have heard the gospel over and over again, but never truly repented and trusted in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And maybe this is you today. You might sit here week after week hearing the truth preached to you over and over and over again, but you never leave changed. You never truly repent. You never truly believe. And it is dangerous business to sit here and remain unchanged, to hear the truth and not truly respond. To hear that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, our loving Savior, lived a perfect life, never sinning even once, and then went on and suffered and died on the cross for the sins of all who would believe, then rose again on the third day. And then you hear all this, and you go away from that news, remaining unchanged. That news should absolutely change your life. And if it doesn't, then you're even more guilty than you were before. And as we see here, your beating will be more severe. As it says that that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating. You see, you can't trick the Lord. You can trick all of us. We're very easy to trick. You could have the entire church fooled into thinking you're a true follower of Jesus. You could have your entire family believing that you are a Christian. But our opinion of you is not what truly matters. The Lord searches your heart and knows the truth. And the good news here is it's not too late. It's not too late to repent and truly turn from your sins and trust in Jesus. You could do that this very hour. So next, we come to the ignorant, who we see will receive a less severe beating. In verse 48, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. These are those who never sat here, who never heard the gospel proclaimed. These are people who never heard about Jesus. And don't get me wrong, though, they are still without excuse, as Paul puts it in Romans 1:20, where he says, "For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse." So they're without excuse. They should have known, but they were never taught. These servants will receive a lighter sentence. Well, this wouldn't apply, though, to anyone in this room, as we've literally talked about Jesus this entire sermon and what he did for our sins. So there's no one here who really fits into this category. So all of you will have more responsibility now than even more responsibility than you did this morning when you woke up. As Jesus concludes his statement by ending verse 48 with, "Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required. And from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more." Friends, we have heard the gospel. We have heard the good news about Jesus. We have been entrusted with so much as it is. And the more we are given, the more that is required of us. We have a tremendous responsibility. Have you ever been trusted with a big responsibility? Have you ever held a baby? What a huge responsibility that is. Someone hands you their precious little baby who entrusts you for a time to take care of them, to not drop them. Think about what you're being entrusted with in that moment. That parent's beloved child, with all the love and hope that those parents have in that child. Holding that baby is a tremendous responsibility. Well, if you're a follower of Jesus, we have been given something precious as well. Something that we certainly don't deserve. We have been given salvation through Jesus. And that is something that should never be taken lightly. That's something that should not be squandered. But all too often, it is. J.C. Ryle has a great quote that's something to the effect of, "The point is not what a man should do to be saved, but what ought a saved man do?" All too often, a saved man doesn't do much of anything. Far too many days are wasted doing nothing but living for ourselves, and we need to repent of that. We need to prayerfully seek out what the Lord wants us to do with our time, how we are meant to serve him and glorify him on that day. We need to begin living every single day in light of what our Savior did for us on the cross, and we need to live our lives every single day remembering that our King will, in fact, return. Let's pray. Father in heaven, when we look at the standards in your word, Lord, when we look at what you call us to do, when we look at what you did for us on the cross, Lord, it is incredibly humbling, and we know that we couldn't do anything apart from you. Please help us to live lives that are more glorifying to you every single day, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.